So Deuteronomy chapter 11, and just want to read a couple of verses here for the sake of time this evening. Verse 10, we'll begin there. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. It says, "For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts. It wouldn't be too difficult, I don't think, to pick out the phrase that I want you to consider. And in verse 12 there, it speaks about the from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Can we just bow in prayer for a moment and settle our hearts as we come around his word and look to the Lord for his help? Our Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather like this. We thank thee we come to gather those of like precious faith. And there is that which we have in common one with the other. And we pray you'll bless us in our own lives. We think of each congregation that's represented here tonight as well. Lord, draw near to us, we pray, and grant your blessing to us as we spend a few moments now around the word of God. Give help, we pray, and make thy word a blessing as we would consider it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That phrase there that I've drawn to your attention at the end of verse 12 is found in the context of the ever-present care that God exercises towards the land of Canaan. And interestingly, it's in the present tense. It's not that he's telling Israel he had his eye upon this land in the past, or even that he's going to have his eye upon it in the future. It's in the present, as you'll see there in verse 12, "A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it." So it's in the present tense. It's something that was the case there and then as these words were spoken. And with the passing of time, as this phrase indicates to us, the Lord was still going to have his watchful care upon this land. And what can be said there about the land of Canaan can also be said about the people of the Lord. Can be said about each child of God. That there is a care the Lord exercises toward each and every one of us. We are his people. We are dear to him. We are redeemed tonight. And redeemed by precious blood. Then we are indeed very special in the eyes of the Lord. We belong to him. And there is a care that the Lord exercises over us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And I just want to take that phrase and notice it here in the context as to what is said and how it is applicable to our own lives. I think I'm well within the bounds of Bible interpretation to do that, because I'm thinking of it's a portion of God's word that's special to my own heart, Isaiah 58. But in verse 11 of that chapter, it says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden." So there's the picture of a land taken and applied to the child of God. "Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." So there's the Lord himself using this metaphor of his people over there in Isaiah chapter 58. So when we come back here to Deuteronomy and this phrase that speaks about the Lord from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, his eye upon the land, I think we're well within the bounds of what's permissible to say, well, here's something that can be applicable to each child of God individually in our own lives. We can take it maybe in even regards to our families, our homes, and certainly to our congregations as well that are represented here tonight. We can say, well, the Lord can have his eye upon the congregation just as well as upon an individual from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And surely that would be our desire, whether it's in an individual basis or family basis or congregational basis, that would be true, that the Lord would have his eye upon you upon me, upon our homes, our families, our congregations, from the beginning of the year right through to the very end of the year. But that would be the case with every one of us, as it is here spoken of with regard to the land of Canaan. The first thing I want you to consider there, two things I want to mention. First of all, it's very extensive, this care that the Lord exercises. Because you look at some of those phrases there, for example, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. And you can underscore some of the terms that are there. The eyes of the Lord are always upon it. There's never a time when the Lord's eye was not upon this land. And then this phrase, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. All the seasons that come and go. All the circumstances that come and go through the course of a year. And as we know, many a circumstance comes our way through the course of a year. As another year is before us in the will of God, none of us know what that year holds, but how extensive is the Lord's care. And if you read there some of the surrounding verses, for example, in verse 14, we didn't read down just as far as that, but it says there about the Lord giving the rain upon the land in his due season. The rain in due season. The Lord give, he's telling them, I'll give you what you need in due season. The very season that is needed, because mention is made there in verse 14 about the early rain, or the first rain as it's called, and the latter rain. And I know that we live in a part of the world with plenty of rain, so it doesn't really maybe register as much with us as if you were living in the land of Israel. And there wasn't the same rainfall. In fact, your very food depended upon the rain coming, and it depended on the first rain coming that would soften the ground after the hard time, hard winter, and the ground would be hard. The rain would come and soften it in order to receive the seed. So there's the first rain that is required for planting time, and then there's the latter rain that is required for to fill out the harvest and to give a good yield in the crop. And in a land like Israel, they depended upon the early rain and the latter rain. Those two rainy seasons, most of the rest of the year, the ground was watered by a very heavy dew. There wasn't the same rainfall as we're associated with in this land, not at all. And sometimes maybe it's just hard to get our minds around that and to understand it as it was in the days of Israel and the circumstances that they faced. But they depended upon this. And when the Lord said, I'll give you the rain in due season, just as you need it, I will give it. Well, isn't that quite a promise that the Lord would make true to you and me, that whatever our need is, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will meet you at the very point of your need this incoming year. And as we come to the close of a year, we can testify to the Lord's hand upon us through all the ups and downs, whatever the circumstances have been this year. You can say the Lord has met my need, met me at the very point of my need. Well, he promised here that he would give them their rain in due season, with the purpose there at the end of verse 14, that they might gather in their corn and their wine and their oil. That harvest times would come, fruitful seasons would come. The Lord says, I'll do all of this for this purpose. Here's the great goal in view. I want you to gather in that harvest. And the Lord indeed does bless his people for our good. There's a whole number of verses. I have some of them here in my notes. I'll maybe read a few of them tonight, conscious of the times. But I would even encourage you to take up a concordance, search through your Bible, even notice those times when the Bible talks about the eyes of God. Now, sometimes we think about the eyes of God referring to his knowledge, and that's true. There are times when it does refer to the omniscience of our God, that he's all-knowing. But there are only other times, and it refers to the special care that God has for his people. For example, 1 Kings 9 and verse 3, with reference to the house of God. And we're in the house of God this evening. And in the dedication of the temple in Solomon's day, the Lord said unto Solomon, I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, and put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. What a wonderful statement. And wouldn't that be something blessed in 2020 if that was true in every one of our congregations? If that was said every time we gathered? For every meeting, every service, whether it's the Lord's Day or midweek meeting or among the boys and girls or young people or whatever, but that every time we met there, those words were true. 1 Kings 9, verse 3, if you want the reference again, it says, I'll put my name there, But then he says, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And we want the Lord's eyes to be upon us in the house of God. We want his heart to be there perpetually. There all the time, never to leave. Never to take his eye off us at any time in all our congregations. Well, one more, there's a number of here I have, but Jeremiah 24:6, it says, I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. So there's another promise. I will set mine eyes upon them for good. Well, again, isn't that something to desire and seek after? The Lord's eye on us for good, for good. And he speaks there about a restoration and a building up, a planting. And surely that's a desire in all of our hearts for a new year that is before us, that it would be a time of that, as the Lord describes it there, a time of restoration, time of building up, time of planting. So the Lord here is speaking about the care that he has. It's very extensive. I want you also, in the second place, to think that it's very exceptional. There is no care like this. As you well know, there's others tonight, and they're out marking the end of the year and the beginning of another year. And they're doing it in places of worldly entertainment. They haven't got a thought of God, nor of his word. And they're hoping, they've got their expectations as well, and their desires for a new year. But I tell you this, there's no people like God's people. And there's no care that's ever exercised for any people like that exercised for the people of God. And that's what the Lord is actually saying here. And that's why we read there from verse 10. And I want you to notice that, because the Lord is pointing out here that the land that he was going to take them to, this land that he was going to care for and have his eye upon from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, he tells them it's not like the land you've come out of. It's not like the land of Egypt. You'll see that in verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. This is a different land. And it's not only different in the sense of one being a land of hills and valleys. The land of Israel, it tells you, verse 11, is a land of hills and valleys. And that's true. Egypt was a much more land of flat plains, great for growing crops. That's why the Lord took Joseph down into Egypt. Way back in earlier history than what we're thinking about here at the moment. But that's why the Lord planned it, that when that mighty famine came to that part of the world, that it would be Egypt that would be the breadbasket and would feed that whole part of the world, because Egypt was like that. It was a land of great plains for sowing crops and having a great harvest. But do you notice what it says there in verse 10? This is the point I want you to notice. And it's just one phrase there that really that I want you to pick out, because it talks about sowing the seed. But at the end of verse 10 it says, and waterest it with thy foot. And that's a reference to the manual labor that was required to make Egypt the fruitful land that it was. The Nile was very important. The river Nile was very important to the land of Egypt, and it overflowed its banks in summertime. But the people as well, they would have dug channels across the flat ground seeking to convey the water from the Nile away out as far as they could to those dry and barren parts in order to water the ground and water the seed that was sown, so that more than ever of the land would become fertile and yield a harvest. But it was hard work. That was hard work. And the Lord is making reference to that there when he says, you've watered it with your foot. It was hard work. All that digging of those trenches and channels and so on to get the water across the land in order for the seed to grow. And the Lord has that in mind, you see, when then he comes into these next verses. And verse 11 says, but, and here's the contrast, but the land whether ye go to possess is a land of hills and valleys. You're not going to be able to dig channels. The very topography of the ground is not going to permit that. Because as you know, Israel was a land of hills and mountains and valleys and plains. So the Lord says you're not going to be able to work the land as they did the land of Egypt. But then there's that statement that comes at the end of verse 11. It drinketh water for the rain of heaven. Here's how it was going to be watered. And that brings us, you see, then to this thought in verse 12. This is a place where the Lord has his eye upon. Here's a land the Lord cares for from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is why that statement then stands true in verse 11. It drinketh water of the rain of heaven because God has his eye upon it. It's going to be watered in a different way. The fruitfulness that's going to come in the land of Israel is going to come about a different way. Well, isn't that true with regards to our own lives as the people of God? We're not to rely upon the world's methods for blessing and for advancement this incoming year. We're not looking to the world's methods. We're not looking to the ways of the world and thinking they're going to secure for us any good thing this year. Because we know that's not the case. That's not the case. The world will not satisfy us. The world will never meet us at the point of our need. But what a difference it is if we are like the land that drinketh in the water of the rain of heaven. If the Lord is the one who is directly blessing and giving that which causes fruitfulness and plenty. You see, not only was there a physical difference, but commentators suggest as well that there was harm that came to the people in Egypt. Because of the River Nile overflowing at its banks, it became a very damp season. And you know that there's countries in the world got very high humidity. And it's a problem all on its own, high humidity. And commentators say that when the River Nile overflowed its banks, that was certainly the case in Egypt. In fact, as well, because of the flooding, there were people who for months during the summer were not even able to leave their homes. Their movements were restricted because the floodwaters had come out over the banks of the River Nile and were flooding out over the land and then restricting people's movements. So for all the work and the effort that was being put in to water the land of Egypt, it had its drawbacks. But then if we look at the contrast here, there's no drawbacks with the Lord's care. Remember that verse that about the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, addeth no sorrow thereunto. The Lord's blessing makes you rich. And there's no drawbacks with the Lord's blessing. You know, is there anything that man has made but hasn't had its drawbacks? Even those inventions that have brought so much good and benefit to the world, made us what we are as an advanced society, there's many inventions that have come about by people's skill and invention, ingenuity. But is there anything that man has invented that there hasn't been somewhere a drawback? But when God blesses your life and my life, or blesses our families and our homes, or blesses our congregations, there's no drawbacks. Not when we are drinking in the water of the rain of heaven. And that's what the Lord is saying here in this portion. He's made the statement about Egypt. He's now drawing the contrast in verse 11 when he says, but the land that I'm taking you to is a different land, and it's watered in a different way. It's going to be watered with the water of heaven. Because it's a land I care for. It's a land that I have my eye upon. And I have my eye upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Well, isn't that one of the great privileges, Christian, tonight, of being a child of God? The Lord has his eye on us. Yes, he has his eye upon the whole world in that general sense of his general providence. But he has his eye particularly upon you and me. His eye runs to and fro, it tells us, through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is right toward him. And from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, that's what the Lord will do. So the Lord is highlighting here this great benefit and blessing of living in the land of Canaan. But that same blessing belongs to you and I tonight if we're in Christ. That same blessing belongs to us. And we can look for it and seek for it throughout the year, from the beginning of the year. And if in a few moments, as we'll leave this year and go out into a new year, right from the very beginning, right the whole way through to the end of the year, we can be looking to the Lord to favor us and to bless us, even as he's indicating here to Israel, as they were just on the borders of this land, as you know. They're about to cross over, and they're being told all this. And we're just about to cross over the threshold into a new year. And would the Lord remind us just of the blessings of what it is to belong to Christ, to be in Him, to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in Him. I trust the Lord will remind us of these things even tonight, as we now come and spend a few moments here in prayer, waiting upon the Lord. The Lord would bring home to us. You see, sometimes there's the old propaganda of the devil that somehow it doesn't pay to follow the Lord. It always pays to follow the Lord. It always pays to obey the Lord. And that's what the Lord surely is reminding Israel here, and I trust that He'll remind us of those things this evening. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts tonight for His name's sake.